podcast about something where each week we dive deep into whatever it is we find interesting. I'm your host, Calvin, and joining me from an indiscriminate location with a Christmas tree just outside of the frame, but you can kind of see the ornaments and the lights on it, but not really, it's your co-host, Nick Richardson.
These lights are kind of bugging me in my periphery, but not really. Thankfully.
Don't worry, they're blurry in the background. Like, you can tell it's Christmas, but not really. That's where we're at.
They're getting a little annoying, I gotta say.
Yeah. It's literally just set dressing for the sake of set dressing, because we are here today to give out Christmas adjacent movie superlatives.
Hell yeah.
So a Christmas adjacent movie is it's this subset of movies that they take place at Christmas but aren't about Christmas. Christmas is not the main focus in any way. Sometimes maybe they'll say Christmas, but it's more of just like, oh, 'tis the season kind of thing. Nobody's actually ever really celebrates Christmas. You might have like an office Christmas party going on, or you know, something like that, but you're not, it's not, there's no opening presents, there's no singing Christmas carols, no Christmas music. Usually they're like action movies, or a lot of action movies, actually.
Yeah, a shitload of action movies,
yeah.
Take place
crime
Christmas.
Thrillers that take place at Christmas, there's some of those.
Stuff with guns. Usually there's tits involved, too, which is really surprising.
I mean, that's nice. A couple superhero movies in here and some school movies. So, yeah, there's quite a bit to choose from. I was surprised going into it. I was like, we're just going to talk about Die Hard the whole time.
Things to say about Die Hard.
Yeah, we'll get to Die Hard. Don't worry. Die Hard will be heavily featured in this episode, I'm sure. And the criteria here that I applied when determining whether something is a Christmas movie or is not a Christmas movie but still takes place at Christmas is how hard do you have to work to remove Christmas from the movie and still have the exact same movie. If you've got to jump through 1,000 hoops, then it's probably just actually a Christmas movie. If taking Christmas is that, taking Christmas like Jingle All the Way, you can't take Christmas out of Jingle All the Way and have the exact same movie.
I have an argument for that, but
okay, let's hear it.
Not yet. We got
about Jingle All the Way.
No, not Jingle All the Way. That point, but that. Never mind. Go ahead.
I mean, this is the time to make to make your argument. I'm setting out my criteria. I got to hear yours.
Say, you could just replace it with another holiday.
Sometimes
it could literally be like Easter.
To get everybody together, Thanksgiving, Easter, any of these where people get together. If gift giving is heavily involved, you can always switch it to somebody's birthday. But so like Jingle All the Way, in my previous example, you could say, well, it could have just been the kid's birthday and the dad was a fuck up and didn't go get the toy in time. But there wouldn't be this mad rush over a single toy for like during one kid's birthday. So that's why you have to have
February.
Christmas, because you have the mad rush.
There you go.
And there was a parade. Fucking parade.
And there's a parade. That does it. That fucking does it.
So there are going to be spoilers for all of these movies, and also most likely spoilers for Christmas Magic. So if for some reason you're listening to this with impressionable kids, first of all, what the fuck are you doing? We've already said the F word like 6 times. Turn it off.
Yeah, bye.
Stop it right now, or get your kid out of the car. Just throw him out. He'll be fine. I promise.
Slow down first, though, because we're not trying to get sued.
I don't know. How fast are you going? If you're going over 15 miles an hour, slow down first.
I mean, they are listening to this, so we can assume they're going at least 40 for the thrills, because this is a thrilling thrill ride.
Yes. If you're new to the movie Superlatives series, every month we give out made-up awards to different types of movies, and there are no repeatsies, no take-backsies. We can't give more than one award to more than one movie, and we can't give more than one movie double awards. So one movie per award, one award per movie. And we'll debate along the way about what we think.
Honestly, harder than I thought it would be.
If you enjoy this, we have been doing this every month for like literally 2.5 years now. So
yeah.
There's a lot to go back and listen to.
That's dope.
That's what? Like 27 episodes of Movie Superlatives.
Yeah. That's just a shitload of content, even if you like that format. There you go.
Exactly.
Back catalog.
The awards we'll be giving out today are Best Christmas Party, Best Use of a Fake Santa, not Real Santa. See, if it's a real Santa, it's definitely a Christmas movie, so that's why you got to specify that's Fake Santa here. most likely to actually be a Christmas movie. So this is your, this is a movie that maybe it's up for debate, right? Some people think it's a Christmas movie. Some people think it's Christmas adjacent. We're going to say, we're going to prove right now this is probably really a Christmas movie, not Christmas adjacent. The best fight, anytime people are getting together, holidays stress people out, there's going to be a fight involved.
Seriously.
And the most necessary attachment to Christmas. So this is different than if it's actually a Christmas movie. This is, how did they incorporate Christmas into the movie, and was it necessary? Does the movie actually need this Christmas scene or scenes to enhance it? That doesn't make it a Christmas movie just because the Christmas scene enhances it, but it does it help, right?
Right.
And then we will give out the, at the end, we give out the movie succulatives, which are the exact opposite of all the things I just listed.
I mean, once again, kind of fucking difficult.
For succulatives?
Honestly, yes. Christmas movies are, I go into them thinking they're going to suck. Mm-hmm. And so I'm pleasantly surprised usually. It's hard to find.
Well, but so that's the great thing about these is because they're not Christmas movies, you don't get all that ooey gooey crap at the end of them. That where, is like, you got to tie up everything nicely in a bow and, you know, feel the reason for the season. Like Elf is a super funny movie and a lot of fun, but the last 20 minutes are just awful.
I'm going to go on record and say I did not laugh one time watching Elf.
You have no soul.
I mean, I might not. I don't know. You tell me, Calvin.
We just watched it for movie night last week.
We watched it like 2 weeks ago.
4-year-old didn't want to watch it. She didn't like watching anything with real people.
Let me rephrase. I laughed very lightly in the sense I went. That was about the extent.
You don't laugh when he gets super excited for Santa coming to the store. You don't laugh when he gives his dad lingerie because it's said for that special someone and his dad was special to him. You don't laugh when he gets hit by the taxi, and then the next time they run out into the road with Zoe Deschanel, he says, "Watch out for the yellow ones, they don't stop." You don't laugh when he burps for a really long time and then looks at his brother and goes, "Did you hear that?"
That was one of my...
You have no soul.
I guess not. I'm more of a fan of Andy Dwyer's "They Have a Santa" than Will Ferrell's "Santa!"
You didn't laugh when he picked up the phone. He answered his dad's phone. He said, "Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color?"
No.
All right. Well, we're not here to talk about Christmas movies because or Nick apparently has terrible taste in them, so we may never do that again.
Yeah, fucking shots fired on...
We are going...
I will argue Christmas for a adjacent. Full hour about Elf. Watch
what
me,
is
son.
The best Christmas party in a Christmas movie? Nick, you go first. Or Christmas adjacent movie. Sorry, Nick, you go first.
Thank you for clarifying. I'm going with the Yule Ball in Goblet of Fire.
Nice. That's a great pick.
While I hate people, that party seems pretty tight. They got good music.
Really, any Christmas party in Harry Potter was good, but the Yule Ball specifically in year 4, everybody stayed around for the ball with all the kids from the other schools because they wanted to get their freak on. So that really helps the Andy.
That was what I was leaning to was, you know, as a teenager, how old are they there? 15?
They are 14. Yeah.
14, 15? Oh, my God.
Hermione's 15. Ron and Harry are still 14, I believe.
Everyone is walking around with a boner pretty much that entire time. You're partying. They can get drunk at a young age. Butterbeer?
Anyone? I don't think butterbeer is actually alcoholic.
I'm pretty sure it is alcoholic.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
You're the guy that's been to Harry Potter World.
Well, at Harry Potter World, it's definitely not. I don't think in real life it is either. Or in, like, the Wizarding World.
You're telling me the Wizarding World is not real life, Calvin?
Of course, fuck. The OG of Wizarding World drinks his butterbeer, a comforting, warming pick-me-up that Harry and his friends enjoyed on numerous occasions. Taste-wise, butterbeer is said to have a foamy texture and can be served either chilled or in bottles, or hot and steaming in a tanker. J.K. Rowling once said she imagined butterbeer to taste a little like butterscotch. That is exactly what it tastes like at Harry Potter World. Does not say if it, not in that post. I'm not going to keep looking. Let us know on Twitter. Is butterbeer in the Wizarding World alcoholic? I say no. Nick says yes.
Let's be real. If I was a 15-year-old dude at the Yule Ball, I'd probably be putting alcohol in my butterbeer.
They got some giggle water. They got some fire whiskey.
There you go. There's some giggle water.
There's all kinds of stuff. They do have alcohol available. I mean, it's like Slughorn just loads them up in year six, so.
Yeah, he really fucking does.
At the Slug Club parties.
That piece of shit. But, I mean, that would be so much fun. I don't even like wizard music, and that music was okay.
Yeah, that band they had. Man, I wish I remember what it was. They're like a...
They're a real band, like a good band.
Well, they're a real band in real life, but they're a real band in the Harry Potter world, too, that I think Ginny has talked about before. Yeah. I think Goblet of Fire is the last Harry Potter movie that could be considered Christmas adjacent, because I think in the next four, they don't ever... like. You don't get all the steps in a school year in the next four. They're jumping around to plot moving things too quickly, so they don't stop for Christmas. But the first three, they always stop for Christmas, and there are very important Christmas scenes in each one.
Shit gets dark. There's no room for Christmas.
That's very true. We got snakes attacking people, Dumbledore's dying,
shriveled
everybody
hands,
else is dying. Yeah.
Pensives. See our episode about pensives.
Yeah. It's good shit. We know more about pensives than we do butterbeer, apparently. That'll be our next Harry Potter episode, just about butterbeer. Or ways to get drunk in the wizarding world.
Oh my god, dude. You could probably do, like, a synthetic drunk all the time.
That's a good pick. I like that. That's a good party. Lots going on. I got you beat, though.
Do you? Do you, Calvin?
I do. Maybe. Iron Man 3, the house party protocol.
That does look like a great party, too. God damn
so,
it.
So, I gotta say, this is not 100% aligned with the true meaning of the award, but it's got party in the name, and I don't care because there isn't a better party out there than a party that involves 40-plus Iron Man suits beating the shit out of Guy Pearce and his goons.
That'd be so tight.
Just doesn't exist.
I'd be the scumbag who would, like, go collect all the pieces. Like, dope. I'm gonna stitch me together an Iron Man suit.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. You know those guys, like, fucking Vulture from Spider-Man, he's sitting around there picking all that shit up.
He's just like, honey, go ahead and get the air mattress.
We don't need the Vulture suit anymore. I got an Iron Man suit. We're good.
I got a vulturing Iron Man suit. He's vulturing dumb. Iron Man suits.
That's like,
oh
that's
my
like
God.
The only thing Iron Man didn't have is one with wings.
I'm sure he did in the 90s in like 500 patches and
oh
a
yeah
couple
I'm
guns
sure
com- too,
I'm sure
measure.
Comics Iron Man definitely had one with wings, but in the house party protocol specifically there were no wings there. I watched it. I know. I was waiting for him to like throw an actual party, and he never did. So I'm like, okay, got to go with House Party Protocol because it's fucking badass. Iron Man 3 is not great though.
It's better than it's better on a rewatch.
I enjoyed it. I like it when you're not looking for any stakes. So like the first time you watch Iron Man 3, you know it's the end of his trilogy. The Avengers had just happened. So you're really thinking that plot is going to advance. When you know that's not going to happen, you can kind of just sit back and enjoy it.
It was all about the Mandarin for me.
Yeah.
So once I knew about that, it was just like,
well, yeah, once
like
that
big
rug
bad.
Is pulled out from under you, you're, yeah, I get
right.
it.
It's like this little puss.
But this suit with the like this scene with all different suits using their individual strengths while Tony controls them remotely, awesome, just awesome.
Super
I could watch dope. This scene any day of the week. Killian the Mandarin, whatever you want to call him, not a great villain as you said, but he's got that super punchable face, which that just makes this scene all the more sweeter when Pepper and Tony finish him off.
It's the teeth. I don't know
yeah.
what it is about his teeth, but
like,
it makes
he
me just
He sucked
as wanna...
a villain. I don't ever want to see Aldrich Killian as a villain again in a MCU movie, but I'm glad everybody punched the shit out of him.
Here's the thing, though, is I... That was when I got back into comics when I was like 13 or 14, I want to say. That's when this comic dropped, the Extremist Program. So
yeah.
that was the first comic I actually rebought when I started getting back into comics was it was like a 6-issue miniseries. So I was hyped for that
shit. I like
shit.
The idea of Extremis. Like the Extremis, all that stuff was cool around it. Just Killian sucked.
Oh, he was not – and he didn't have anything
like,
to do with the Extremis.
Couldn't we bring Justin Hammer back?
Just bring a no-name fuck back. Look at – I would definitely – I recommend that, listeners and Calvin, that you read Iron Man Extremis in 13 or 14. It's very good.
Gotcha. It was just a lot of fun to see all of Tony's tinkering pay off, and you know it's cool that he's just like this tinkerer, and he goes and he goes, and then all of a sudden, boom, we got 40 suits, save the president at the end. So something I want to point out here is Shane Black is the director of Iron Man 3. He is also the king of Christmas-adjacent movies.
Yep.
As a director, he has directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Christmas-adjacent, Iron Man 3, Christmas-adjacent, and The Nice Guys, which is Christmas-adjacent.
Is it really?
Yeah, he's directed four total movies that have been released. Three of those four movies are Christmas-adjacent. Only one is not, and that's The Predator. And The Predator takes place during Halloween. So he's got three Christmas-adjacent and one Halloween-adjacent.
I feel like him and Tim Burton would get along so well.
I'm sure they would. So he, as a writer, he's also written two more Christmas-adjacent movies in Lethal Weapon and The Long Kiss Goodnight, and the three he already directed. And that he's written 17 or had writing credits on 17 movies. So he, not as high a percentage with writing credits, but when he directs a movie, he's going to set it at Christmas pretty much.
Fucking Shane Black, y'all.
So shout out Shane Black for giving us a lot of content here in this episode.
Yeah, for real.
And then I got to throw in the other Shane Black movie as an honorable mention here, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. They have just a nice party. Nice Hollywood party. You get to hobnob with some movers and shakers up in Hollywood. Just looked like a fun run-of-the-mill party.
I got a runner-up for best Christmas party.
Yeah, what you got?
Die Hard.
That looked boring as fuck. Plus, it got attacked by terrorists. I do not want to be at a party that gets attacked by terrorists.
I told you, I'm here for the thrills, Kevin.
I guess. Definitely.
I don't know. I'd be that guy that's like, I don't know. I don't know what I'd do in that situation, but let's move on.
I would be somewhere between John McClane's wife and the dude that tried to turn on John McClane, like the dude that was hitting
Elliot?
Her before. Yeah.
I'd be somewhere
in between his wife and that guy, where his wife is actively helping and he's actively trying to kiss the terrorist ass.
See, I'd be like a chameleon. I'd just, you know, be like, yes, German brethren, let's hold these hostages hostage.
That's a good way to get yourself shot, I think, Nick.
I mean, as long as they just get me in a non-vital area, I'll take it and just fake my death for a while, and then I'm good.
All right.
They just step on my
head. Are we ready to move on to award number two?
Most definitely, dude.
That's the best use of a fake Santa. This was a hard one for me.
Really?
It came down to the second to last movie I watched for this series, and I ended up giving it to The Long Kiss Goodnight, which is a great movie. I recommend everyone watch it. It may have also led to like all the 9/11 truther movement, just because that's the whole plot of this movie is the I think he's he leads up the CIA or the FBI or something, one of these guys, and they're planning this false flag terrorist attack throughout the thing that the main characters have to stop.
And very stupid. I'm guessing Alex Jones fits in somewhere there.
Alex Jones does not make an appearance. The main character is Gina Davis. She's great.
I mean, she wouldn't let the frogs be gay.
That's fair. So where the fake Santa comes in here is Gina Davis dresses up as a Mrs. Claus in the beginning with a fake Santa next to her in the parade. That's the only appearance of the fake Santa, but they're in this parade. So this parade is televised, shown on the local news, and this is where one of her old tar. She has amnesia. Really long, confusing story if I were to try and explain it here. But just know she has amnesia. She doesn't know what's going on. And one of her old targets or like partners in crime is in jail, sees this newscast, and realizes she's still alive. She didn't die. So that sets the whole story in motion, just because she had to be with this fake Santa.
Son of a bitch.
And I've got to say, I think parade Santas are better than mall Santas.
Yeah, because they're not covered in kids' tears.
They don't smell like beef and cheese.
Yeah.
You've got no direct interaction with this just randomly potentially creepy dude.
Well, and they're free. Have you seen mall Santas? They're like $60.
That's fair. Yeah.
That's fucking ridiculous, dude.
It just I feel like it makes more sense for this guy to be in a parade on the news. So if this was like a mall Santa, that would have never been on the news. I get why the parade's on the news. No newscaster's just going up to and recording mall Santa B-roll for an hour. It's not happening.
They'd do that in my city. They'd be like, this motherfucker smells like beef and cheese. tune in at 6 p.m. Sit on a
throne of lies.
He sits on a throne of beef.
I'm just gonna quote Elf throughout the rest of this episode and make you laugh at it. Until it's buried in the back of your skull, that's funny. What do you got for the best use of a fake Santa?
This one blows your fake Santa out of the water, mister.
I bet. I told you, I struggled with this. I can't deny it.
I went with Bad Santa.
Isn't that a Christmas movie, though?
No. It's a heist movie.
Okay.
It's a redemption story with a periphery of Christmas. This is what I was talking about when
ever happen in Bad Santa? Are there any gifts given? Does anybody fall in love? Any of that bullshit?
Yes.
Ooh. Cutting it close. But I'll allow it because I've never seen it.
Santa is a drug addict con man who hired a dwarf to help him steal from malls that he goes to as Santa. And here is what I
love Billy Bob Thornton.
Right, Billy Bob Thornton. The routine piece of shit. Friday Night Lights. Never should have played Booby. You know, never should have played him.
Yeah, that's true.
He
was our best villain in the TV villains for Lorne Malvo in Fargo.
There you go.
He's top notch.
But he obviously is a fake Santa, and he's using himself to make a shitload of money.
That makes total sense.
Yeah, that's not a very good thing, and I think that's where it defeats the purpose of Christmas. So who cares if people are falling in love? He's stealing thousands of dollars from a bunch of people just trying to get pictures of Santa. That dude's a piece of shit. No, I mean, you gotta give it to American ingenuity, you know?
Fuck those kids who want toys for Christmas.
Yeah. He's horribly mean to him, too. So, I mean, that's where a lot of the humor comes in. He's just kind of a fucking dickhead. But, you know, he does help one kid, so I guess that's good.
He learned his lesson.
I mean, there was a Bad Santa, too. I never watched it.
That's a good pick. I like it. I've never seen it, like I said. I thought, and I would have watched it for this, but I thought it was framed as he was this asshole, and then the spirit of Christmas takes him over, and so it ends up being closer to a Christmas movie.
No, the kid, I'm sure you remember the kid from all the advertisement that bugs the shit out of him, is just this lonely, depressed.
Is it Spencer Breslin? I feel like it's Spencer Breslin.
It might be. I mean, that name just sounds like someone who's annoying and up your ass.
Oh, but he was definitely the annoying kid in every movie he was ever in.
There you go. No, he's some chubby, curly little head fuck. But, yeah, he kind of helps this kid not be such a loser, if that makes sense.
Oh, I see him. Okay.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, it being all about Christmas, it's more just helping that kid not be a sociopath who murders everyone at school.
That's fair. It's good. That's a good lesson, I suppose.
Christmas.
So I had some runner-ups here because, like I said, The Long Kiss Goodnight was the second to last one I watched for this episode, and I was getting close to not actually having a fake Santa, so I almost had to cheat here, and I was going to pick just anyone that had a Santa hat on at any point in a movie.
Ooh.
So that would have been technically a fake Santa. Some of my runner-ups were Mean Girls and Die Hard, because Mean Girls, Lindsay Lohan, Rachel Adams, Lacey Chabert, and Amanda Seyfried dress up in, like, they have Santa hats and these little skimpy dresses. So they're in these skimpy Santa outfits singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town for the school talent show.
Sexy.
So, yeah, exactly. Sexy is always going to be best. And just...
Especially when it comes to Santa.
Sexy Santa's the best Santa. Just a quick sidebar here. My daughter did a dance recital. She was in this dance class. They had a Christmas dance recital 2 years ago. So it wasn't her class that was doing it, but there was this other class because they go through just all the classes, and you sit there for like an hour, and you have to watch all the other classes before it gets to hers.
There was like a 12-year-old class.
It was fine.
Don't like it. It's boring as fuck, you know.
That stuff doesn't bother me. There's a lot worse stuff I could be doing. I got my phone. I'm good. Anyway, there's a 12-year-old-ish class up there, and they do the exact... I know you haven't seen Mean Girls. I think I might just give you another strike again. Every time I mention it and you haven't seen it, I might add strikes.
Just say, you have to say it out loud. That way I can repeat it to my wife that watching Mean Girls is homework. And she'll be like, all right, cool, let's watch it.
Watching Mean Girls is homework. It's always homework. Give me your wife's phone number. I'll text her that, and then I'll just keep texting her every week until you actually watch it. Anyways, this 12-year-old dance class did the exact performance that the girls in Mean Girls did. And that went against the entire point of the scene in the movie. The scene in the movie was like these 17 year old girls were doing this super sexified dance to the song at a high school talent show, and how dumb is the school and their parents to let them get away with doing this. The 16 17 year olds shouldn't be doing this. It was, the point of the scene was not to, let's teach this to a 12-year-old group of girls for a dance recital in front of hundreds of people. So whoever was in charge of that dance class has poor decision-making skills.
Yeah, I agree.
It was very inappropriate for 17-year-old girls at a high school talent show, even more inappropriate for 12-year-old girls.
Agreed.
So dumb. So Die Hard was my other runner-up. Because John McClane delivers one of the terrorists to Hans in the elevator. He's got a Santa hat on, and he wrote on his sweatshirt, "Now I have a machine gun, ho, ho, ho."
That was also one of my runner-ups.
Yeah. Nothing better than trolling a group of terrorists with a guy in a Santa hat.
That is literally what I fucking wrote. Literally fucking wrote that.
So, shout out John McClane. You're a double runner-up.
You're a real American hero. Using Absolutely. Santa...
You don't star in a Christmas movie, but you're still here.
My hero.
All right, so the most likely to actually be a Christmas movie award. Nick, you go first here.
Most likely to act... We skipped one.
No, most likely to actually be a Christmas movie is number three.
Oh. Batman Returns.
Ooh, interesting.
This is a goddamn Christmas movie.
Are you sure?
All... the fucking imagery is what does it. I mean, all that's missing is the feel-good moments of the characters.
Exactly. That's the problem with Batman Returns, is that doesn't exist at all.
Well, I mean, shit. Imagery should count.
Yeah, it's beautiful, but couldn't this movie have also just been in January and been the exact same movie?
Nope. Why? Not with all the imagery.
I guess, but
you can't remove the imagery.
So hear me out for a second.
Let me go first. All
right, go ahead.
You can't remove all the imagery and have the same movie. So therefore, you can't remove Christmas and have the same movie.
All right. I'm not arguing at that point, but hear me out on this great idea I just had. Wouldn't this movie be better if it's New Year's Eve instead of Christmas? So the party that's happening... that Penguin breaks into, tells him he's going to steal all the kids and takes Max Shrek instead. Blah, blah, blah. All that. That's a New Year's Eve party instead of a office Christmas party. Or like a town Christmas party, whatever the fuck it was. And so the imagery, instead of being Christmas, is Christmas dying all around. People have Christmas trees thrown out on their lawns. Penguin is just dragging the city down with him, and you see it through the imagery of Christmas being dragged down, Christmas being thrown out, lights shutting off for the season, Christmas trees being thrown out, like tons of garbage from all the gifts that were bought, things being returned and exchanged because nobody actually likes the gift. Doesn't that kind of prove Penguin's point a little bit more, that people are shit if you're seeing how people treat Christmas immediately after Christmas rather than... It's almost like Penguin is taking the people while they're at their best and trying to bring them down, and he doesn't fully succeed. But what if he's taking them down when they're at their worst? Right after Christmas may be the lowest point in a lot of people's lives.
I mean, it may be, but...
And I think you can do that.
I disagree, because they're using... That's how they express evil in this movie. Yeah, a lot of people are doing evil acts or doing bad shit, but they do it as a... You know, they express it with the imagery as a corruption of the goodness of Christmas.
Yeah.
So you got like the penguin said, in front of the white Christmas tree. That sounded like you were disagreeing. That was an awful lot of words.
It wasn't. Did you listen to any of them?
I listened to every one. That's why I was.
You said a lot of words, but I don't know what they mean. No, I wasn't disagreeing. I was amending. I was adding. I was trying to add to it. Of like adding, you have your hopeful Christmas, and then you see Penguin dragging the city down with him.
I think it.
Like I said, I literally just thought of that and thought it was a good idea. Apparently, I'm wrong. So.
No, let me rephrase. I disagree in the fact that you are wrong. I think you're right. You could do that. Everything you said, you could do that. But I think in
I don't think you could make this movie that already exists, that movie that I just described. But it would be a cool movie.
I'd be down for it. Either way, I probably wouldn't like either of those movies because I just don't really – I'm not a big Tim Burton fan.
Batman Returns is a tough watch.
It's not good.
I think it's a good movie. It is not a palatable movie, though.
Wouldn't that make it a bad movie?
No, because it's well made. So I have this inner turmoil over things sometimes of well-made movies versus good movies. So to me, Fast Five is a good movie because it's fun and exciting and entertaining. But Citizen Kane, which I've never actually seen, but you know, it's held up there as one of the greatest movies ever. In my mind, that's a well-made movie, but I don't think I would get any enjoyment out of actually. The Godfather, there's another one. Godfather was boring as shit. 2.5 hours of boredom. I know you disagree with that, but that's fine. But it's still well-made.
I never watched it.
Oh, I thought you were a Godfather fan. All right, cool.
No.
I tried to watch it one time. I fell asleep literally 7 times during it. I kept waking up and being like, oh, maybe something interesting will happen. Nope, didn't happen. Fell back asleep.
Just add the check mark on the sheet.
Yeah.
7 times, honey? 7? Change the channel.
It was, my parents had rented it, and they were watching it, and I was like sitting in the recliner. It was like 6 o'clock in the evening, too. It wasn't late or anything. It was that boring. So, like, that's not a good movie to me if I can't sit through it. But it's well made. I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, that's... I just keep coming up with this analogy in my head of chairs. It's a well-made chair, but it's not very comfortable.
Yeah, you don't want to sit in it. Thanks, Ron Swanson.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. Because my dad's name is Ron, so there you go. There's
Ron
the
Donald?
No. I will not party down, Calvin.
My pick for most likely to actually be a Christmas movie was Love, actually.
Never seen that either.
This was the second time I had watched it.
Make it homework. My wife will love that.
No, don't worry about it.
It's fucking garbage, bro.
It was worse the second time than it was the first time. People in the world consider this a Christmas movie. And the thesis of this movie is that Christmas is a time of love, so all of these terrible couples get to share their love during this special time of year. And they're all terrible. Trust me, I just watched it. It is. And
I'll take your word for it, bro.
There's all these intertwining storylines, probably like 6 or 7 of them, and they culminate on Christmas Day, and the focus of the movie is very much that Christmas will help whatever things are coming to fruition. Everything's going to come to fruition on Christmas Day. So in that sense, this movie needs Christmas, but I still don't know why you can't tell all these disparate love stories outside of the Christmas framework. You can just say, here's 6 different interconnected people who have these different love stories. It's all culminating on Christmas, but it doesn't have to. Like, you can just end the stories on any day of the week, in my mind.
Yeah, Super Bowl Sunday. Why not?
People are in love every day. And I think the love in this movie and in general is somewhat cheapened by the fact that the movie tells you Christmas is the time you should be in love and the rest of the year just doesn't matter. You don't have to do anything for the rest of the year as long as you prove to the person you love on Christmas that you love them.
Well, it's like being shitty the entire year and then you decide you're going to dump them or move on. They get you a gift on Christmas and then you're like,
it's the classic
Christmas.
Catholic paradox, right?
I guess it's Christmas. I can't do it.
You go to church every Sunday, so you can be shitty the rest of the week.
Yeah, I fucking hate people like that.
Go to a Catholic church, you'll find a lot of them.
I know. I had plenty of Catholic friends growing up.
It I think it would take a lot of legwork to pull Christmas out of here, but I think you could do it and still mostly have the same movie. A lot of the situations that are presented, Christmas almost seems forced into it and unnecessary. They had like I think somebody wrote a solid love movie script, but it was more of like a movie of the week or something. It was like an hour long. It wasn't a full movie yet. So instead of figuring out how to make this a full movie, they just stuffed Christmas in everywhere they could to pad the plot out. And I honestly think they say it's Christmas or at Christmas 1,000 times to really just drive it home in this movie.
That was just the studio. Like, oh yeah, if we release it now, it'll get that big push for Christmas.
Well, exactly. It's, if we keep saying Christmas, then we don't actually have to think of reasons why people would be in love.
For Christmas. Yeah, I mean, how can you love someone without Christmas? Buy me shit. I will love you.
So the world at large believes this is a Christmas movie. I think it could do without the Christmas, but it does have a very heavy focus on Christmas that I think would be very difficult to take away. So I think it is the most likely to be a Christmas movie.
I think that's fair.
All right, I'm going to win the whole show right here with the best fight.
Get out of here.
Easy. Rocky IV.
Is it Christmas time in Rocky IV?
It is Christmas time, and this fight single-handedly ended the Cold War. If I can change, then you can change, then everyone can change.
Is it, though? I don't remember it being during... It's in Russia, so it's snowy.
Absolutely Christmas. I watched it yesterday. It's okay, 100% at Christmas. They make a point to say that the fight's going to be on December 25th. It's in Russia.
They don't believe in Christmas, the communists.
Adrian gets mad at him for doing it on Christmas. Why does it have to be on Christmas? She gets mad at him for everything in this movie. Also, the movie is 70% montages.
I know, it's so good, though. That is my favorite Rocky movie. I fucking love 4.
I think I like 3 better. Well, Creed's the best, but I think I like Rocky 3 better.
No doubt.
And Rocky 1 is the best film. It's the most well-made. It's not the most entertaining, but it's the most well-made. It won an Oscar, so
agreed.
I mean, it has to be.
Stallone like wrote and had a big part in that, obviously.
Yeah. Rocky 4 is probably the best boxing scene. The Rocky vs. Drago, not Creed vs. Drago. That was very bad. It's one of the best boxing scenes in the first set of Rocky movies. Those first 5. Clubber Lang vs. Rocky Part 2. Maybe better. I'd have to go back and watch the tape on that one. When we do boxing movies, I'll have a true ranking of what the best choreographed fights in Rocky movies are.
I think Dude 4 just takes it.
I think so too, but again, it's kind of montaged a lot. So there's not a great deal of choreography except in the round where he cuts Drago and the final round.
He can bleed! He's a man!
And all of the matches in Creed are better looking than any of the ones in any of the Rocky movies.
Fuck yeah. I mean, that's a given. But
yeah, Michael B. Jordan's so great, too.
He really is. My opinion is just Dolph Lundgren is such an imposing figure and has some form of combat training. Mm-hmm. And this is Stallone's 4th Rocky movie. If he doesn't know how to throw a convincing punch...
He got sent to the hospital because Drago actually punched him.
Fucked him up, right.
Yeah.
I think that
lends to it being one of the better boxing scenes in these movies because some of it was real.
Right.
Not choreography when you're getting punched.
You like that, Sylvester?
So, yeah, I'm not sure why he had to do it on Christmas, but they did. There were a couple flashbacks too. His kid was at home, and the robot they bought Polly for his birthday had like a Santa hat on. So that's a dark horse for the Santa hat award too. And there's like decorations around and stuff like that. It would be super easy to remove Christmas from this, and it's the exact same movie. This is 100% Christmas adjacent. There's no reason for it to exist at Christmas. It's always cold in Russia. And Rocky's always neglectful of his family, regardless of what day it is. So why are we doing it? Why do we need it on Christmas? I mean, he is. Have you seen Rocky VI? The whole point of Rocky VI.
Yeah, yeah. His husband Rocky had Balboa. Or husband. His his husband. His son has that shitty earring, doesn't he?
No, that's Rocky V.
Rocky also
Balboa
terrible.
Is Rocky VI. That's when he's really old, and the video game says he would beat the whoever the new heavyweight champ is, and he fights him. And his son's played by Milo Ventimiglia. And he's grown up, but kind of estranged from Rocky.
Okay, yeah.
It's okay.
All right.
It's better than Rocky V. All right, so what do you got for best fight? I know you can't beat Rocky IV. Nothing you're going to say ended the Cold War, so let's hear what you got.
Something I will say is better than ending the Cold War, and that's Mel Gibson defeating Gary Busey's teeth. That saved the entire world, Calvin. Have some respect for this man.
What's that, Lethal Weapon?
Lethal Weapon!
Never seen it.
What?
So that's another one I would have watched. I didn't realize that was Christmas adjacent until I was too far into this. And I didn't have time to fit it in. Otherwise, I would have, because I've never seen it, and I would have watched it. And I didn't until I was watching The Last Kiss Goodnight, and I was reading up on, you know, Shane Black's affinity for setting things at Christmas. I realized he wrote Lethal Weapon and that it was set at Christmas. So
that's right. I mean, you could remove Christmas and it would be the same fucking movie. It opens with Jingle Bell Rock. I don't know, actually. So
they always go with Jingle Bell Rock. All these action movies, they throw Jingle Bell Rock in there.
It's a given. But Mel Gibson's character, ex-Special Forces, he's a cop, and he is suicidal. In the end, he gives his partner the hollow point bullet that he was going to use to commit suicide, you know, is some form of gesture. So I guess without that, you know, I imagine he wouldn't be like, here's this bullet for your birthday.
Yeah, you
love you.
When you got to start, like, shoehorning birthdays in there, or now he's retiring, so he's giving him a gift, right, or something like
that. You're retiring, here's a bullet.
I mean, Danny Glover's too old for that shit.
Just bite it, bro. But, yeah, the best fight by far. Mel Gibson uses some weird white kung fu, and it's fantastic. They fight in the rain, in the mud, and it's so unbelievable. That's why it's the best, because there's an entire police force in L.A. fucking standing around just like, yeah, fight it out, fucking kill him. They run a copter in with a fucking floodlight, dude. Like, they're spotting on this match, and I think that's what makes it. They literally have an audience for this fight, as does Rocky. But Busey is a terrorist. I mean,
he gets the Russians to start chanting for him. Rocky, I mean, Rocky, Rocky.
Busey didn't bite him, and that brought back Mel Gibson's rigs from the edge. So I think it had more.
It saved a life.
Yes, it saved several lives, because
I mean, Rocky IV saved a lot of lives. The Cold War would have just kept escalating if he never went over there and fought.
You know, I think you're right, Calvin. I think you're right.
Everyone wouldn't have realized that they can change if he didn't say that.
Change is gonna come.
Yeah,
bro. With Rocky.
I like the Lethal Weapon pick. That's good. Other qualifiers. You got Batman Returns, you know, and all these superhero movies. Shazam could throw in there.
That's
Iron
true.
Man 3 could throw in there. A lot of good fights in those.
They set a shitload of movies around Christmas.
Yeah, especially if Shane Black was involved. Harry Potter's, you could probably throw some in there. But so Harry Potter would be tough because none of the fighting happens in those Christmas scenes. Like, he fights Voldemort and everyone, but that's not during Christmas.
He fights a sweater.
It's true. Speaking of Harry Potter, let's go to the most necessary attachment to Christmas. Nick, you go first.
It's not Harry Potter. It's A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my wife about this.
It's a Christmas movie.
No, I was talking to my wife about this. Listen, she said the same thing. That's a Christmas movie. And I said, no, it doesn't reignite his love.
I already argued this point on Twitter earlier, so I'm going to go to that.
Calvin, damn it. It doesn't reignite his love for Christmas. It reignites his love for Halloween.
That's fair, but the whole thing takes place on Christmas. He's giving gifts. He's dressed as Santa. He falls in love with the Christmas spirit at one point. He understands that Christmas is important and that he shouldn't affect Christmas.
Well, it's truly involved. It's got the necessary attachment to Christmas, but it's not a Christmas movie. It's not.
So,
too horrifying.
The great podcast, Mike, and Oscar, at MM and Oscar on Twitter, they posed this question earlier. He said, I know people hate these arguments, but I need a consensus here. He put up a poll. Nightmare Before Christmas is a Christmas movie, Halloween movie. Their poll ended 51-49, Halloween movie.
How many votes were there? Two?
102. Yeah, they got a lot bigger following than we do.
That was like straight down the middle bet, yeah, obviously, by the numbers.
So I had responded to him that I just watched this for the second time ever, so I'm an expert on it now, and I specifically watched it with the framing of, is this a Christmas movie or is it a Christmas-adjacent movie? Because going into it, remembering it back from the first time I saw it, like 12 years ago, I thought it's a Christmas-adjacent movie. It focuses more on Halloween than Christmas, but Christmas plays a part. It takes place on Christmas. He pretends to be Santa. He learns traditional Christmas lessons along the way. Of love for his friends and to enjoy the world that he's in instead of taking advantage of other things. I gotta say it's a Christmas movie. But it's also, the attachment to Christmas is absolutely necessary, so I back your award there.
I will stand down for my argument in that case.
I went with Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Are you angry about that?
Yes. I'm so angry about it.
I don't understand.
I don't think it really has a necessary attachment to Christmas.
But let me go here. They're in school, and it's following these kids through a school year, and Christmas happens during a school year, so you have to include Christmas. Harry, especially in Harry Potter 1, it's absolutely necessary. In the other 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, it doesn't matter as much. But Harry needed to receive these gifts in year one. Specifically, he needed to receive that sweater from Mrs. Weasley because it helped him finally feel like a part of a real family for the first time, and he needed to receive the invisibility cloak that literally made him invincible. And Christmas is really the only opportunity for Dumbledore to give it to him without raising any of these suspicions Dumbledore has it and all that other stuff.
Didn't think about the invisibility
he had to get
cloak.
That And he had to get it from Dumbledore, and Dumbledore had to give it to him in a way that he didn't kind of sell out his whole plan right in year one. Also, our three favorite heroes, the Golden Trio, as I like to call them, they needed to stay at school together to further strengthen their bond and uncover the mysteries that lied in the school with fewer interferences than they had during a regular school year. And you just got to have that. If you're going through a full school year, you got to include Christmas, and so thus Mean Girls is a runner-up for that exact same reason.
Okay, I'll accept it.
If you have a high school movie that's going to go through the whole high school year, you got to include Christmas, because important stuff happens in high school at Christmas.
It's true, even though everyone's on Christmas break.
Or
Wizard Boarding School.
So, those were our awards. We gave out a lot of stuff. It was a lot of fun. We gave the best Christmas party, the best use of a fake Santa, the most likely to actually be a Christmas movie, the best fight, and the most necessary attachment to Christmas. Are there any categories that we missed in all of this, Nick?
I have two.
What do we got?
I got best awkward gift. And ironically, I used Harry's sweater. You know, he's never going to wear that, and he'll never tell Miss Weasley he fucking hates it. But
he's wearing that shit every time he visits the Burrow, I'm telling
you. You know that sweater means the world to him, because Miss Weasley made it to him.
Yeah, he's not wearing it outside of the Burrow, I agree there.
Right, but it's still an awkward gift. He's like, man, I'm an orphan, and I live under stairs, but this sweater is ugly as fuck. I don't even know if I want it.
That's a good one. I'm looking through my list of movies here trying to think of an awkward gift. I think maybe Shazam would qualify. He gives all his orphan family these superpowers out of nowhere.
Which would fucking suck. But, I mean, if you get to...
I mean, you got superpowers also.
You got superpowers, and there's mighty big glow-ups going on in that shit.
Yeah. Somebody turns into Megan Good, which... I don't know that you could have a better glow-up than going from a 9-year-old to Megan Good.
That's true. I mean, Adam Brody, that dude looks the same.
Solid. Adam Brody's hilarious. I used to sometimes watch The OC. Adam Brody was pretty much the reason I would sometimes watch it, because he's hilarious.
Have you ever seen the movie Grind? It's a shitty skateboard movie, but
yeah.
It's one of Adam Brody's super early roles, and he is fantastic in that movie.
He's all anything I've ever seen him in. He's very funny and witty. I like.
He would have been a great Ramsay Bolton. I would have think. Oh, he would have been awesome.
I don't know. They can go that sadistic. Like, he tried in Mr. and Miss Smith, and it didn't. He's always Seth Cohen to me. Like, he can't get past that of just this witty doofy guy.
He just reminded me of what's his name, that played Lex Luthor in the terrible...
Jesse Eisenberg?
Yes, that guy. Yeah.
Well, so that's... That's Adam Brody as Ramsey Bolton. That's going to be best case scenario there, is you get this weird Lex Luthor type guy.
The weird shit.
Jesse Eisenberg Lex Luthor type guy.
Don't like it.
No. I was thinking best Winter Wonderland.
That's a good one.
Which Gotham City and Batman Returns I think is perfect for this. You explained this before. Tim Burton does a great job of showing the entire city and not just the Batcave or, you know, focusing on the office building, anything like this. We get to see how Christmas looks. We see it in downtown with the tree lighting and the office building. We see the zoo. We see the cemeteries. Everything has, you know, these reflections of decoration going on around them. We see neighborhoods when Penguin's off kidnapping kids. We get to see Wayne Manor. The sewers are even festive a little bit. And he just puts so much detail into the background setting in this movie. It makes me believe that he made this movie purely to set the scene more than he cared about Batman and making a Batman movie. He just wanted to make this sweet city.
I feel like it's his favorite character in all his movies. Think of like Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands. You get another Winter Wonderland. I mean, it's all... He's very big into imagery and setting.
Oh, we'll get to Edward Scissorhands. Don't worry.
Oh, we'll fucking get there.
It's coming.
He'll scissor your hands.
I won't be mean to anyone about it. VCR Kids and I, we squashed that beef. You know, Aaron was very nice on the latest episode when I vehemently proved her wrong and unequivocally proved her wrong.
With the biggest
she
hands.
She just said thank you and was really nice about it. I guess she doesn't know how feuds work.
That was class.
I guess,
settled
yeah.
it with class.
Damn it. Damn her and her class.
Money, please.
What other categories did we miss, Nick?
The dopest tree. And mostly, when I say this, you know, you catch a glimpse of a well-decorated tree. Mostly, I choose this for Lethal Weapon, which I'm reusing. Because Mel Gibson... throws Gary Busey's teeth into the shittiest tree I have ever fucking seen. This thing is hardly any needles on it, hardly any limbs, and hardly any lights. And he basically uses it as a weapon against the teeth, aka the chomper, Gary Busey.
I like that. I think Tim Burton's Batman Returns tree should be considered for dopest tree as well. It's a very good tree. Ice Princess gets thrown off into it.
He's got several in that movie.
Yeah, I didn't pay too close attention to Christmas trees as I was watching this. I probably should have. That would have been a good thing to pay attention to. I was thinking best Christmas-related one-liner. It would have been kind of tough just because you got to pay really close attention to hear them all. Shazam had a really cheesy bad one that would have definitely qualified for a succulative. The bad guy, whatever his name is, comes in and he goes, I've come here during the season of giving to give you what you deserve.
To give you my balls.
I think that's exactly
basically
what he fucking table.
What he fucking meant. His balls would have caved in that entire floor because he's some super magical being. But yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. I mean, there's a shitload of one-liners in all these movies. Die Hard had several, including Merry Christmas.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure how much of that one-liner is, but he goes on like. We've got that he writes on the guy's sweatshirt. Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho. You can't have a better Christmas one-liner than that. Again,
yeah,
just trolling those terrorists.
It's not even verbal. What a badass.
So, Nick, do you prefer Christmas or Christmas-adjacent movies?
Christmas-adjacent. Because there's all, like we mentioned at the top of the episode, there's all that action, adventure.
There's things actually happening.
Right. Dope parties. There's usually boobs, which always adds to... you know, Christmas-adjacent movies. That's what I'm there for.
Or really any movie.
Really. I mean, really any movie. They put it in Tomb Raider because no one was going to go see that shit.
I mean, that's kind of part of what the Tomb Raider character was at the time, too.
Yeah, triangle titties.
Yeah. For me, it depends. If it's around Christmas, I think I'd much rather be watching actual Christmas movies that focus on Christmas and not just, you know, Christmas is the set piece that no one really pays attention to. If it's not Christmas time, I like watching these types of movies because a lot of them are actually good movies. And the Christmasness of them does not distract you at all from the story at the end of the day. I'm not in June. I'm not going to be sitting here watching The Santa Claus or Elf. But maybe I would watch it like my kids pick it for movie night or something. But I'm not going to go out and watch those. And if I do, I'm not really going to be feeling in the spirit of it. But at any point, I could throw on Rocky IV or Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and still enjoy the movie for what it is, because Christmas doesn't really matter in these movies.
That's fair. That is fair.
But I will not ever sit and enjoy Love Actually.
Shots fired. That's like the fourth time.
It's not good. It's bad. Hit me on Twitter if you think it's good. Who's in that?
Did
everybody? It's one of those ensembles. Alan Rickman's in it. Hugh Grant is in it. Liam Neeson is in it. Jojen Reed, that kid, is in it. What's her name? Emma something or other. Not Emma Watson. Not Emma.
Emma Stone.
The older Emma. No, Emma Thompson. She's older. She's like middle aged. She's married to Alan Rickman's character. It's a British film, so a lot of British people, early 2000s. Those fellows. Billy Bob Thornton makes an appearance, actually.
Does he put on a British accent? Because I would pay money to see him. He's
playing the American president who visits. Hugh Grant plays the prime minister of England. So Billy Bob Thornton visits him and hooks up with like his assistant that he actually likes.
That sounds about right.
And he's in it for like 3 minutes, and it's just firing fireballs the whole time. Billy Bob Thornton's the best part of it.
Okay, I'll have to check that out.
As he is just the Billy Bob Thornton scene. You don't have to watch any of the rest of it.
There's lots of that going on.
Let's get to the succulatives.
Let's do it.
Wrap this up. It's our shortest episode in like 2 months. So
you're welcome.
Let's finish it off with a bang.
You're welcome.
So, first succulative, worst Christmas party. Nick, what do you got?
I got the Chamber of Secrets because they're too young to do anything fun. They bounce out and take fucking Polyjuice potion and, you know, fuck that noise.
And go hang out with Malfoy.
Yeah, I'd much rather go to a feast and hang out than turn into a goddamn Polyjuice potion weirdo.
Well, and Hermione turns into a cat lady.
A fucking cat. She doesn't get her fill of pumpkin pie. She gets her fill of dandruffy, gross underhair.
Yeah, gross. I went with Edward Scissorhands here.
Okay.
They've got a party that no one shows up to because everybody's pissed at him because they think Edward Scissorhands tried to rape someone, blah, 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 you know, all that good stuff. So Edward tries to make an ice sculpture in their yard. He cuts Winona Ryder with a piece of ice, causing Anthony Michael Hall's character to try and fight him. That's what starts everything off.
Yeah!
Then the cops get called. Edward runs away. Then Winona Ryder thinks she's going to get a kiss, and he shuns her. Like, if you're Winona Ryder and you get shunned by Johnny Depp with Scissorhands, that's a rough look.
Yeah.
The little brother in the movie, I don't know who the actor is, but he almost gets run over by a van, and Edward, quote-unquote, saves him, but also, like, kind of just slices him a little bit, because, again, he's got Scissorhands, and everybody gets pissed at him yet again. Then he almost cuts off Anthony Michael Hall's arm, which Anthony Michael Hall, in this movie, he should be first ballot dickhead boyfriend Hall of Famer. Just for this movie.
Right. And at the same time, his nearly cut off arm is not even visible later in the movie.
He's a little bitch. The whole town thinks Edward has died now, and Anthony Michael Hall does die. He actually dies. Nobody seems to care about that at all. He just like disappears and everybody's fine with it. I don't know that you could throw a worse Christmas party if you tried.
Oh, I could make do. I could fucking make do.
I guess Die Hard with literal terrorists showing up would qualify.
I don't want to turn into Crab or Goyle. Fuck that noise. Or a cat. Dude. No, I'm good. Send me to the feast.
My other honorable mention here was Batman Returns, the Max Charade Ball.
Very dumb.
Just on the name alone. I wouldn't go to the party. It also seemed like a boring party, formal dancing. It looked almost like more of a prom than a party. And also, Boo! Penguin shows up and announcing that he's kidnapping everyone's kids. And then kidnaps Max Shrek.
I'm taking your kids.
And it's called the Masquerade Ball.
Yeah, I fucking hate that. That pun is not funny.
So the worst use of a fake Santa, I went with The Nice Guys. Great movie, by the way.
Love that movie.
Another Shane Black here. So this showed up on a list of Christmas adjacent movies because that was one of the first things I did. I Googled kind of one of these lists. found a list of like 30 movies to check out. I didn't watch all 30. I watched like 11, maybe.
That's a shitload of movies still.
I watch them passively. So I'm like working and it's on my tablet and I'm looking for the specific things that the awards are for. And most of them I've seen already, so I kind of know when to pay attention and when not to.
It's fair.
Or like I watch them. We have to still sit in my kids' rooms while they fall asleep every night. So like I'll start them on my tablet there, and then I'll just finish them on the couch while I'm either doing work or, you know, preparing for a different episode or whatever. I'll have it on the TV. That's a new thing I started doing with the teen movie superlatives because I love teen movies and I just really wanted to watch them. And I'm like, hey, this works good. I can just watch these passively and have better background information for when we actually do these episodes rather than just trying to remember this movie I saw 7 years ago.
That helps a shitload.
It really does. So I rewatched it. It holds up. It's great. But most of the movie, 98% of the movie, does not take place anywhere around Christmas. The only connection to Christmas here is at the end of the movie when the two leads, Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe, they're meeting at this bar to debrief after several months later after the main story took place and they figured everything out. They're kind of there catching up on what happened. There's a fake Santa outside this Mexican restaurant that they're meeting at, and he's ringing like the Salvation Army bell. That's it.
That's one
all
second.
The fake Santa, that's anything Christmas related. Why is Santa there at all? I know the answer is because Shane Black directed it. But why did that scene need to happen at Christmas time? It's just completely wasted Santa. Like, make Russell Crowe go out there and have a fight with him or something. Like, let's use Santa. Shane Black just can't pass up using Christmas in his movie.
I mean, you're 100% correct.
It's also possible that when they shot this scene in L.A., it was actually Christmas time, and the fake Santa was actually a real fake Santa standing out there and just happened to be caught in the scene.
You know, he bragged to his wife. He's like, honey, look, it's me.
That's me. That's me ringing my bell.
I told you ringing that bell would pay off.
See Ryan Gosling? He's walking into the restaurant. You see him?
I made my big break.
So what was your worst use of a fake Santa?
Fucking Die Hard, man. I mean, it's literally used for a fucking pun. That's it.
That's a great pun, though.
It's a great pun, but not a good use of Santa. And that's it.
I'll give you that.
We've already talked Die Hard and that scene. People know it's really just to deliver talking shit, but he would have been smarter to not send that at all.
That's fair.
Then they know he has a sense of humor.
Yeah, then they don't
have his machine gun, yeah. Well, and he doesn't. He has a machine gun. They know he has a sense of humor. He's not a sociopath. He's not Terminator. So therefore, they're just not as scared.
I also had Shazam here as an honorable mention because Santa's just a punk in Shazam.
He is kind of a little.
They're
bitch.
At this like winter carnival thing, and it gets attacked, and he just starts pushing kids out of the way to escape, like he's George Costanza or something, just shoving everybody he can. And then later, the whole family gets their Shazam powers, and the younger one, who's now Megan Good, she crashes right next to the mall Santa. And as an adult, she asked Santa for a pony or whatever dumb, like, 9-year-old thing she asked for. And it just kind of felt like a really cheap and bad joke to have our 35-year-old Megan Good there pretending like she's a 9-year-old asking Santa for a pony. Like, it was cringy. And I'm not a person who uses the word cringy often.
It just struck me as underage sexual bullshit.
And completely unnecessary.
Right.
Okay, so here's where we're going to defer here on the least likely to be actually be a Christmas movie. What did you pick first?
Least likely to actually be a Christmas movie is Rambo, First Blood.
Does that take place at Christmas?
It's in Hope, Washington, and it's clearly decorated for the holidays.
All right. There
so
you go.
This veteran who's, you know, picked on and has a bad
time.
I don't
think you have to describe it here. We get it.
Right. Yeah, you get it. He's moving through town.
Stallone shooting the shit out of people for an hour.
Well, he only kills one person in that movie.
Oh, that's
but
fair. Yeah.
He's a vet coming home from Vietnam. He's getting shit on by this small city as he's moving through. There's no spirit of Christmas. There's merely decorations.
I like that. And so here's where we defer. Batman Returns was my pick.
You son of a bitch.
I'm going to just go back to all the points I made. Not only could this be set at any time, like most of these movies on this list.
It couldn't, though.
but it's not even a feel-good movie. Like, a lot of these movies that we're talking about, they end with somewhat of a feel-good feeling where you get a little bit of Christmas spirit in there. This, it's bleak, it's disturbing. You know, Batman wins, but nothing feels good for anyone involved.
And Catwoman again, it's, makes it's me a, feel good.
It's a good Batman movie. I'm just going to move right past it. But it's also the hardest Batman movie to watch. Like, it's Batman and Robin is bad and punny and weird.
That is the worst movie I've ever seen.
It's also just complete fluff and easily digestible. And there's a lot of, like, fun, entertaining things that happen within that. I like Batman and Robin. I enjoy watching it.
You like the nipples,
will not
don't
sit
you?
Here and say it's a good movie.
It's all about the nips.
We're going to have Batman movie superlatives. Don't worry. We'll go all through all this.
And so he had nipples, you see, and I couldn't stand for it. I wrote Tim Burton every day.
Tim Burton had nothing to do with the bat nipples. That was Joel Schumacher.
I still wrote him every day because he's friends with Joel Schumacher.
He's probably like, dude, I didn't do this movie. Shut the fuck up.
He's like, please, will you leave me alone because I hate you.
It's 2015, Nick. Move on.
Never.
you got to be in a really very peculiar mood to watch and enjoy Batman Returns. It's very hard to watch.
I mean, if you're shit-faced, you probably would love that movie.
Or high.
Yeah, if you're...
probably be a good high.
Have you ever watched Batman Returns on weed?
It would not be a good movie to watch if you're, like, tripping on acid or shrooms or something. That'd be too far.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to think about that. It'd be like, oh, fuck.
All right, so worst fight. I went with Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. No, going back to Shane Black. Everything comes back to Shane Black here.
You mother...
I don't think I actually gave Kiss Kiss Bang Bang a superlative. I gave it a lot of runner-ups, though. So Robert Downey Jr. in this, he tries to call a guy out at the Christmas party for, let's say, caressing a girl who is clearly asleep and potentially passed out. Turns out it's her boyfriend, and he's just like, he wasn't going to do anything. He's just kind of like standing around her caressing. But since...
Inappropriately
if you're an onlooker. And since Robert Downey Jr.'s character is not an actor, but he's a criminal from New York, he puts on this tough guy act with the perpetrator thinking that this Hollywood cheeseball is going to back down, and they take it outside, and the dude just absolutely beats the shit out of Robert Downey Jr.
I would love to see that. I need to see that.
Just look up Kiss Kiss Bang Bang Christmas Party Fight, maybe.
Fucking there for it.
Yeah. He's just like got him on the ground, just beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
So what do you got for worst fight?
Worst fight. Edward Scissorhands in the end between Edward and Jim. Mostly
is that
because
Hall?
Yeah, I mean Edward's not fighting back. This dude is just obviously a sociopath. He wants to inflict pain on people because he's a dickhead. And then Edward just kills him.
Yeah, can it be a fight if somebody ends up... Or can it be a bad fight if somebody ends up dead? Like, yeah, nobody's going to say Apollo Creed versus Drago is a bad fight.
No, because it's actually
bad
a fight.
For Apollo Creed.
I mean, this dude just beats the shit out of him, slaps a chick, and then gets killed. That's a shitty fight.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm not trying to see a woman get killed... Or woman get killed. A woman get slapped, and a dude die. I'm not trying to see that for a fight.
And then everybody just forget about the dude. Like, he didn't even exist.
Yeah, I don't go up there because I want him to remember me as I'm, you know, a young woman, even though he killed this dude that was my boyfriend.
And we all obviously know it's been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that Edward Scissorhands was created from the salad chopping robot. We all know that now.
100%.
I'm not going to go back into it. Is that an argument? Listen to last week's episode. Huh?
Is that even like an argument?
I mean, that was the argument that Aaron from the VCR Kids was putting forth, that he was a different robot. He wasn't the salad chopper. The feud's back on.
Convince me. I don't see how it could be anything but what else are they chopping? Fucking tires for rubber mulch?
On the episode of the VCR Kids, she didn't know why he had scissor hands in the first place. She was like, why didn't he just make him with human hands? And she was thinking that he built a robot from the ground up. That she just didn't see it or wasn't paying close enough attention to see the transition between the salad chopper and Edward.
She's taking a pee. Feud off.
Yeah. So I, when I watched it, I noticed that, and I texted them privately to say, hey, this is what happened, in case she's like really just confounded by this still. Because it, not only were they talking about it on the Edward Scissorhands episode, but then they were talking about it later also. And then she came at me, and the rest is history. Listen to last week's episode if you need to know. But
she's like, oh, this motherfucker.
Then she apologized. She said it's all good, so we're good.
We're gravy. Grits and gravy.
She thought she made me mad or upset. I wasn't really upset. It's just more fun to play an upset character in a feud than to be like, yeah, well, this happened.
That's fair. And you are from Florida.
The fine. What does that have to do with anything? Everything. Absolutely everything. I get it.
I don't know.
I get it. All right, so the least necessary attachment to Christmas, what do you got?
I got Iron Man 3.
Yep.
Because that could literally... That has nothing to do with fucking Christmas. It's so dumb. It's dumb.
It's got a great Christmas party, though.
Decent Christmas party. He could have a bajillion parties any day of the week. He could have a party at 11:30 a.m. after Sunday Mass, and people would still be banging. It'd be... You know what I mean? And the subtle imagery is okay, I guess, but that movie did not need to happen around Christmas at fucking all. I felt like it was used to just humanize Tony a little bit, when in reality, if he just gives a kid $1 million, that could humanize him more than any fucking Christmas story I've ever heard
of. And here's the thing. Why wasn't one of the Iron Man suits wearing a Santa hat? It's right there.
Or red and white.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's red and silver.
Here's what I think happened in that movie, and maybe I missed it on this last rewatch. I think House Party Protocol happens during New Year's Eve, because the first scene where he first meets Alder Killian at that party, that's a New Year's Eve party, when it's like 1990 or whatever, right? And Happy Hogan's got the mullet. That's a New Year's Eve party. So then we flash forward to present day or whatever, and we have to go... It starts around Christmas in present day, and then I think a few days go by, so potentially it's ending on New Year's Eve as well. So that whole House Party Protocol scene is potentially happening on New Year's Day, because I was just sitting here thinking, why wasn't this a 4th of July movie? Because at the end of House Party Protocol, he blows them all up, and it looks like fireworks. So I'm thinking maybe they frame that as New Year's Eve fireworks instead of 4th of July fireworks.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know. I guess I probably should have paid more attention to it, but I did.
Me either.
But you're right. It does not need to be attached to Christmas or New Year's Eve, for that matter. Could have been 4th of July. I think it should have been 4th of July.
Could have been Martin Luther King Day. It could have been literally anything.
I think here's the problem with 4th of July over New Year's Eve is, why is Alder Killian at like a 4th of July barbecue with Tony Stark? Like, 4th of July barbecues are more intimate usually. You're with friends, whereas New Year's Eve parties are these big extravagant things where anybody could show up.
Maybe I'm just from a weird part of the country, but that's how it is on 4th of July.
I guess you have like the fireworks show where everybody's there, so you could have that.
Well, I mean, shit, dude. Fireworks here in Illinois are illegal. Illegal! So we all have to gather anyways to watch fireworks. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm biased.
Somebody who knows more about Iron Man, hit us up on Twitter at APA something at alone underscore podcast.
Do it.
Or don't. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Do it.
So I'm going to get some hate mail from this. I shouldn't have given my Twitter before this. It's Die Hard.
What?
I'm going on this ledge. I'm willing to die on this ledge. Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. I'll fight anyone on this.
Is it a hard ledge? How is it not a Christmas movie?
There's absolutely no reason that this movie needs to be set at Christmas. He could be traveling to see his family for literally any reason, because he wants to see his family is a good enough reason, really. He could show up at his wife's work for literally any reason. They could storm Nakatomi Building any day of the week. It may even make more sense on a work day, because you have more hostages there. The only thing here is maybe they needed it to be after hours so they didn't disrupt business, and they wanted to make sure hostages were in the building, blah, blah, blah. But still, I don't think it has to be a Christmas party. You could have any reason for people being there after hours. Everything exists.
Hold on. You're moving too fast for me. I totally disagree wholeheartedly. Because if you look at it, if it's during a Christmas party, then the police force is lessened and they're more likely to involve the FBI, especially in LA.
Why can't it be a New Year's Eve party?
Because it's
still... Why can't it be a 4th of July barbecue? I think you could have it on... And you don't need the police to delay. He wanted the police there because you need the police there for the hostage situation to take place.
No, because they escalate to the FBI. You have to go through those steps. Hans Gruber understood that. You should too, Calvin.
I guess. Everything that exists here in this movie could exist on any day or night without pulling that much out. The only thing that couldn't is now I have a machine gun, ho ho ho. He could say yippee-ki-yay motherfucker on any day of the week.
Well, what's his name? Elliot? He's banging cocaine. There's, you know, people banging each other.
People did that shit in the early 90s for whatever reason they wanted to.
That's not... I mean, Christmas parties are notorious for being fucking wild.
The Christmas setting felt more like a shortcut than anything to solve actual... Like, it felt like a shortcut to solve plot problems than it was anything else. You know, that whole thing, we need to shut down power. Oh, we can't because it's Christmas Eve. And too many people lose their power on Christmas Eve. Like, it was just a shortcut to solve problems rather than having to think of real reasons to do anything. They use Christmas as a crutch more than anything, in my mind.
That's fair. Most Christmas movies do, though, to be fair.
And most importantly, what kind of shitty-ass company throws their Christmas party on Christmas Eve?
My company?
Fuck that!
Mine does the same shit.
People need to be with their families on Christmas Eve.
I agree.
Christmas party needs to be on, like, December 20th. At the latest.
We're recording this on the 23rd. I have to be at work in the morning at 6:30.
Fuck that. Don't go, Nick.
But I have to.
Take a stand.
And I have to go in on Sunday, too.
They're infringing upon your right to celebrate new and exciting holidays.
You know? I'm going to use
Festivus,
that.
Yes. Bagel, no.
I'm going to sue them. It's on.
If that's another problem. If this party's on Christmas Eve, that many people aren't there. Because people with kids are home with their kids. They got to get Santa shit ready. They've got to
100%.
You got to spend time because you do family presents on Christmas Eve and then you do Santa presents on Christmas, and you got to settle up all that shit. You can't be hammered trying to set up Santa gifts. It's not gonna happen.
I would probably eat all the cookies and start opening shit. I'd be like, man, I really wanted this when I was 7 years old. How about them apples?
This toy I bought for my kid is dope.
yeah, pretty much.
My honorable mention here goes to Edward Scissorhands yet again, just because it's set in either Florida or Southern California. It's based on Tim Burton's childhood home in Burbank, California. So it's set at Christmas in Florida or Southern California, so nothing feels Christmassy.
Well, and people are like, snow! Oh my god, ice falling from the sky!
So that's the only Christmassy thing is when he does the ice carving on Christmas every year to make the snow. They throw this party that no one shows up to. The dad is decorating the house for a scene, and that's it. Like that's all at Christmas exists. They throw this party, and he decorates the house. Neither of those things. You could be throwing any party. You could be throwing a housewarming party for someone new that moved. It doesn't matter. I don't know that it needs to be Christmas. It could be other than I guess he needs to make the ice sculptures.
Why can't they be trees?
Yeah. Why couldn't she see leaves falling down from the sky every summer or whatever?
Be like, leavesmas.
All right, so this was almost our shortest episode in 2 months, and we stretched it out. Don't worry.
It was as short as we could possibly get it. Trust us.
There's a lot of Christmas-adjacent movies. We had to get them in. And now that it's not Christmas, it makes the most sense to do movies that aren't Christmas movies.
I agree.
I meant to say that at the beginning, but I forgot. So here we are at the
end.
With
the leftover spirit.
Exactly. You got anything else on these Christmas-adjacent movies?
I do not. I think I beat them to death.
Yes, me too. I enjoyed watching them, though. It was really...
I did too, man.
This was a good setup because the movies aren't the same. Like, they're all different types of movies. You got a couple
terrible,
of superhero movies.
Usually.
You got a couple of action thrillers, crime movies. There's a lot of good stuff in there that you can watch different types of movies, whereas if we just do Christmas movies, it's the same movie over and over again with different characters.
Pretty much. It's very formulaic.
If you do want to listen to actual Christmas movie, we did that not like we did in 2018 with Kid Flicks was the podcast who guested on that one. That was a good conversation too, so go check that out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But thanks for listening to this one. As always, you can find us on Twitter at APA something at @alone_podcast. And all the music for a podcast about something is provided by those cats.
You gotta stay sassy.
Stay classy.